Wide receiver is one of the most likely positions for the Vikings to take in the NFL draft. So let's talk about how to scout wideouts so that you can find who you want on your own terms.
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day, each and every day. You can find this podcast wherever you find your favorite shows, including YouTube, and you can even find it on Amazon or Roku. Just download the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. This is part two of a five-part series that I am doing all this week. I'm out of town this week, away from everything, so these are pre-recorded podcasts about scouting, about my process for how I scout certain positions. Today, we're doing wide receiver, so if there's any news or any major seismic stuff that happens, I will get to it when I'm back home. and we'll talk about it next week if that's what you're into. I'll see you next week, no worries. But for now, we can talk about scouting. I want to say that this is just like my, I'm not a pro scout. I'm not a coach. I'm not a player. There is all kinds of stuff that people with practical experience can talk circles around me about. This is what I have learned, and I'm going to share it with you. And this is how I do my thing. That's all it is. I'm just one example. But if you really want to learn all this stuff, follow me on the path. Read books, watch clinics, listen to the people with lots of practical experience. You would be surprised what you can learn about quarterbacking from Les Steckel. I'll leave it at that. So I do not claim any expertise, but I am a fan that has been working real hard to learn some stuff for a little while. And like the whole copied off in math class thing implies, you can come ride the coattails of my work and I'll bring you along with me. So let's talk about wide receiver. Wide receiver is hard. I'm just going to say it because of fantasy football. Fantasy football has turned wide receiver and running back and tight end into incredibly, just the prevalence of that in the conversation, into incredibly production-oriented positions. And all positions have production, and production matters for them. And you can look at production, and provided you're being responsible about it, you're not just doing the box score stat thing, you can glean valuable insights, absolutely. And I'm not really going to engage in that part of the conversation, but with fantasy in particular and the impact it has on wide receivers, there's so much crap out there that tells you about if this guy is going to be a good fantasy receiver that might not tell you if this guy's going to be a good, like, actually on the football field receiver. Because in fantasy, you're chasing volume as much as you are chasing, like, quality and efficiency. And that sort of stuff is like stable year to year, provided the guy's on the same team, right? If you're an okay receiver on a pass happy offense, you might be a better fantasy asset than the only one good receiver on like a super run heavy offense, like the Titans, right? Like AJ Brown going from the Eagles to the Titans, right? Or otherwise going from the Titans to the Eagles. But I want you to, if you're a big fantasy person and you're really like production is like where your brain is, that's okay. But I want to challenge you to think about it a little differently for today, and to forget all of that stuff, to just like put out of your mind like production and market share and dominator rating and target shares and yards per target and all of that other stuff that has its applications in the fantasy world of evaluating receivers and to a certain point tight ends. And a lot of what I'm going to say applies to tight ends as well. It's just that they also block and you just have to kind of evaluate them on both axes. And I want you to look at wide receivers a totally different way. I even want you to forget about the idea of separation, like what Matt Harmon does at Reception Perception. That is awesome work, by the way. You should sub to it if you haven't. But I want to put it out of your mind. I don't want you to try to quantify wide receiver stuff. What I want to try to do with receivers is I want to try to understand their plan. And whether it works or not is a totally different thing. But I want to try to get it. I want to understand what they are up to and how they're trying to generate their separation and stuff. And if it works, has as much to do with if the corner does his job as it does, you know, the wide receiver, right? And I don't think we will really get a great understanding of who wideouts are if we don't do a better job of understanding their intentions. Because within wide receiver, there is so much, like within any given route, there's so much leeway to kind of find your own way. A lot of play calls are, look, 18 yards, then break. And as long as it takes you more or less the same amount of time to get up to that 18 or, you know, 12, 13 yards and breaks, probably better, like 13 yards and, you know, break at a 45 degree angle, there's your post, right? Or 18 yards would be like a spear route or something like that, like something deep and over the field or something like that. You know, 7 yards and break. Like that's the instruction you get in the playbook. And then it's a matter of just working it out with your quarterback. Okay, I am going to take this long to do it. And let's just drill it a whole bunch of times until you have a feel for how long I'm going to take to do it. And that's what you call chemistry, right? And within that 12 yards and break, within that 12 yards, you can kind of do whatever you want. You do whatever you have to get it past the guy. You can release outside. You can release inside. There are some play calls that like super need you to release a certain way because of the way it interacts with other routes and stuff. But otherwise, you're putting your own razzle dazzle on it. You're doing what you can do to get that corner off your back. And it's your job to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. You can do whatever you want in that time, so long as you're back at your landmark. It's called restacking. Where you can kind of go out of your way, you can take a corner way outside, you can take a way inside, you can do whatever you have to, as long as you get back onto your path, and you do that without wasting too much time. And it is within that part that we can kind of see the most from a wide receiver. We can see independence and what they're doing when they are left to be independent, right? So I want to put all wide receiver is such a hyper quantified position that I want you to take all that quantifying stuff, all that counting, all of the measuring, and I want you to just place it aside. We're not killing it. We're not saying it's bad. We're just putting it to the side for a second and come with me on a journey of learning what they're trying to do, qualifying rather than quantifying. And the first thing with that is, the release. Let's start there, right? Start at the start. The first few steps for a wide receiver versus cornerback thing, and I'm just talking about versus man right now, versus zone is a little simpler. It's kind of, again, it depends on the route and it depends on, you know, you're usually just trying to position yourself. And sometimes it doesn't matter if it's man, if there's a zone defender right in there, you're just running at the depth that you're told to run at, right? But against man coverage, and it depends on the cornerback's alignment, right? How does he start? And is he getting a lot of free releases? That's the first thing. And free releases just means, is the scheme setting this guy up where he doesn't have to release against a cornerback? Is he using a lot? Are they using him in jet motion a lot? Are they using him in stacks or bunches a lot where, you know, somebody else has the cornerback that's up on the line of scrimmage and he ends up with off coverage? Or is he just really fast? So cornerbacks play him off a lot. And that's the kind of thing that you can use for your whole career for as long as you're fast, right? Is guys are afraid of you, so they're afraid of your speed, so they're afraid to play press on you. They want that extra cushion. We talked about cornerbacks yesterday and how the more cushion they give, that's kind of the more they're keeping the world in front of them so that they can see and that they have more time to react. And if you're really fast, they might feel like they have to, because, you know, you chew up that space a lot faster. So that's one thing. But eventually everybody's going to get pressed, right? So I love to find, okay, what happens when there's a dude right up in his face? What does he do? What's his go-to move? For Justin Jefferson, for example, that move is an outside hezzy release, or as I call it, a hezzy release, where you sort of skip step toward the outside, and you want to get as much outside momentum there as possible. I like to call it like take the corner to deep water, take him way out there. And then you either cut up field or you cut outside or you cut wherever the route wants you to actually go. But that big outside step will stress the corner. it will prevent him. You know, I talked about yesterday how corners kind of want to backpedal and get rid of a bunch of space. Well, he can't or get more space, especially if they're in press. They might want to start with a nice little backpedal to just give themselves a little bit of extra space to work with, keep everything in front of them a little better, get better vision and all that. Well, if you take a super hard outside skip step, then they can't do that back. They got to mirror you. So now they're coming with you. And they, like, if it's outside, like, hard enough, if you cover enough distance with it, and Jefferson's is gnarly, then they have no choice. You're forcing their hand, and that's really what wide receiver is about. Now, not everybody does it that way. That's just JJ's, but and it's not even really that much of his favorite anymore. Like, he's really, his game adapts and changes as depending on game plan and stuff, which is, like, super, super highly advanced. You're not going to see that from a lot of college guys. But with the release, it's kind of the first step that you get to see. And that we can start to kind of piece together that wide receiver's plan. I have so much more that I want to get to with wide receiver, and I probably won't get to all of it. But I will talk to you about a good old gramble. It's FanDuel, America's number one sports book, and a place for you to go gramble on anything from March Madness to the XFL. You can gramble on baseball games, hockey games, whatever's up, like the World Baseball Classic that just happened, and baseball in earnest is starting up soonish, right? They're in, like, spring training right now. You can go gramble on all of that stuff at FanDuel. And if you're new, you can get a no sweat first bet that is up to $1,000 in bonus bets back if you whiff on that first bet. So you don't have to sweat it. Get it? Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet, where you can wager on everything from the money line, point spreads, to I don't know which team's going to win the whole dang thing in those college brackets. All on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Once again, don't miss out on your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Thanks a bunch for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. For your second listen, go check out patreon.com/LukeBruntNFL. I've got draft breakdowns up there coming up. Trying to do like two a week or something close to that. I also have the history doc, which you can watch entirely for free. That's 7 hours of Minnesota Vikings history content, like a whole season of TV. You can go start plugging away at that, or you can find also my salary cap video if salary cap stuff confuses you. If any crazy contract stuff happens this week that I'm not able to talk about, it's probably covered in the salary cap 101 video. Let's move on here with, so, like, after the release, you know, the idea of a release is to force a reaction, to force the cornerback's hand or put him in a bad position. So if you, one of the things that, like, Devontae Adams does a lot, we talked about this yesterday when we were talking about the corner side of this, Devontae Adams, if you are in press, say you're 2 yards off of him, or even 1 yard off him, like you're really right in his face, he'll take a bunch of choppy little steps right into the guy, right up into your face. And then when you break, there's no time to react. It takes away all of your reaction time. So you should be able to get a little bit of space. And what you really want is, however you do it, you want the corner to be out of phase. This isn't necessarily separation, because in a lot of separation metrics, it might not even count. Like, you might just have like a half a yard on him, and a lot of metrics, like next gen stat stuff, needs it to be 1 yard of separation to actually, like, count as separation. I don't know how Matt Harmon's works, but I don't necessarily need separation, but I need that corner to be what's called out of phase, which means that the corner that's covering you is not able to turn his head when the ball comes. He has catching up to do. So usually there does have to be some, but that's the goal of the release. If you can get out of phase on the release, the rest of your route is basically free. And then once you're out of that release, you're looking for enough speed to stress the cornerback. And when I say enough speed, for me, enough, good enough, is like 4.5, 4.55, something like that. Once you get to the 4.6 range, it gets really hard. That kind of speed. And by the way, the 40 times, you know, you might want to look at the 10 split a little bit more. You might want to look at the 20 split a little bit more, or even the flying 20. Some people will like Rick Spielman really valued the flying 20. It led him to draft Laquon Treadwell. So I think maybe a lesson was learned there. But the idea is that, like, well, maybe they just aren't that good at getting into blocks, and how fast they really are is kind of once they're fully up to speed, that last 20 yards of the 40. but I'm looking for a practicality with speed. Like Jordan Addison is a great example here. I think he ran like a 4.5 something. Yeah, he ran a 4.49. And that's not that great, but it's good enough. 4.5 speed is enough where if you can win off of the release, or if you have another way to win like Jordan Addison does, where he loves to stem his routes really, really aggressively, where it's kind of the whole route stem is a release almost, and he's really forcing the corner to play more further inside or outside than that corner wants to. And then he'll be able to like cut it back in or maybe just kind of blaze by him or whatever. But he just needs enough speed to make it so that that corner has to take him seriously. And a 4.5 is good enough for that. Now, if you run a 4.3 or 4.35, you're a super, super speedy receiver. That means that you cannot have the best release, but still be stressing that corner and still have him kind of playing like he's out of phase. Like he doesn't feel like he can turn around till he sees you turn around. He feels like he has to be sprinting at full speed so that when you break down, it's that much harder for him to break down. You know, when you break down to start to break the route off, that sort of stress is what you want to put on him. And so this is why, for me, Jackson Smith and Jigba is my number one wide receiver right now. Even though he ran a 40 that was like, I think like a 4.53 at his Ohio State Pro Day, which is like a famously fast track. And like that's, so he's, and you can see he does not have the top speed, right? He was never going to run a good 40. He's not the fastest receiver in this class by any stretch of the imagination, but he wins off the release. He has great body control. He has all these other ways to kind of stress you, and his speed just has to be good enough where it's not like free to catch up with him. And, you know, he can get caught when in breakaway situations, kind of get dragged down by the nameplate, that kind of thing, which is, of course, you know, a knock on him. But to me, he's still my wide receiver one. The 4.3 speed thing is a luxury. It's a it's a gravy thing for me where, okay, if you have that, that means your life is a lot more forgiving. But for guys like Smith and Jigba, it doesn't have to be forgiving because he's really good at stuff. He doesn't need that extra cushion. He doesn't need that safety net. He doesn't need the training wheels. You know, super, super quick dude might need a little more training wheels, and that can work, right? So I kind of, with wide receiver, there's a lot of different ways a receiver can be that I will like, and it's becomes, okay, what is your game, right? How are you beating different kinds of coverages? How are you attacking different kinds of coverages? And do I like that kind of game? Like Jordan Addison, he is not a very physical receiver at all. He actually gets beat by press a lot. He gets knocked over a lot. But he is against off coverage. He loves to stem those routes, you know, super leany, and he loves to force corners into a situation where they can't get physical with him because he's forcing their hand, and it's a very intelligent route running. He's my wide receiver too. Those are my two favorite guys in this class. I haven't watched everybody though. Like I haven't watched Josh Downs or whoever yet, so maybe I'll have him above. Who knows, right? You want the corner to not have any options. You want to control how they react to you. And so if you see wide receivers who are utilizing space to manipulate the corner, but also getting to their landmark on time and getting to where they're supposed to be on time, like that landmark is precisely where it's supposed to be, then you've got yourself a good wide receiver. And with guys who don't do that, you have to ask, okay, why? Is he not fast enough? Is he not running his routes well enough? Are corners, you know, is he not really stressing the corner at all? This is my problem with Quentin Johnston. There, even though he's got the best body type, you know, in of the top, you know, 6-7 guys in the class, everybody else is super tiny, and he ran a great 40 and stuff. My issue is that the way he runs his routes isn't very stressful on the corner. So the corner can attack that however he wants. And that's going to mean that you're just going to take a bunch more L's that way. For breaking that route off, by the way, you're looking for 3 steps of deceleration. That's kind of the rule of thumb. It kind of looks like 5 steps to me though. Depending on like when you decide to start counting them as deceleration steps, but watch a bunch of film and you'll get used to like what a normal one looks like. And then you want them to burst out of that break. That's my other problem with Quentin Johnston, is that he's kind of lopes out of that break, and it allows any time he will like set that corner up to be in a really stressful situation, he doesn't attack it well enough. And then the corner can kind of catch up and get back in. You know, you can get them out of phase, but let them back in, and now they're, you know, right in your hip. So you want to see three steps deceleration, and then you want to see burst and reaccelerate as fast as possible, assuming that it's that kind of route. Some routes, you know, you turn around, you just wait for the ball. And then, of course, there's the normal stuff from there, right? Do they have a drops issue? Are they boxing guys out? The stuff that you don't need me to tell you how to watch if a guy dropped the ball or not, right? You want to see typically with the catch, you don't want to see them using their body to catch it. You want to see them be able to catch it with their hands, wherever that is. And you know, you don't want to see guys, for example, try to jump. This is another Quentin Johnston thing. You can tell I'm like not that high on him. You don't want to see guys, like, if there's a high ball, you don't want to see him jump so that they can body catch it, because that will really limit their after catch potential. You want to see them just grab that thing with their hands, especially for a guy like Johnston who has a big body and he has the catch radius to do that. He doesn't have to be jumping, but it's a comfort deal. Then there's other like savvy stuff that wide receivers should be doing. And if they're not doing it, you can kind of ding them for it, that I want to make sure that I get into. But first, let me talk to you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. And because it is March, is that time of year, the Built March Madness bracket is here. All right, we get into all kinds of arguments over what flavor is best. I'm not a coconut guy, but I love the coconut brownie chunk. I think it overcomes my personal distaste for coconut because it's so tasty. And they even have a Puffs version of it, so you can vote for your favorite Built or Puff at builtmarchmadness.com. And if you do that, they got a whole bracket for all the different flavors, which one's going to win. Go vote for your favorite. You can vote every single day. And when you vote, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built, and one of you will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered straight to your door every month. You got to try Built. It is a great protein bar covered in 100% chocolate, low calorie, low sugar, low fat, chock full of protein. It's cheating, man. It just doesn't taste like it is, you know? It tastes way better than it has any right to taste. Go to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop on in and support your pick. Continuing on, throughout the process of a route, and again, against man coverage, and sometimes even against zone coverage, there will come moments where there's a guy in the way. That's the best way, where it's either a man cover guy in off coverage just trying to, sometimes they'll just park themselves right in where they think your route is, and you have a right to go through them. It won't be illegal contact, but that's hard, right? You got to get through an NFL player. And that is something that, you know, different guys will definitely react to differently. This is where I think Adam Thielen, this is where he got worse this year. And he really struggled with this. This is where he started to really disappear. It wasn't speed. It wasn't his routes or anything like that. And again, his speed doesn't have to be the 4.4 that he ran at Mankato State way back in 2012, right? Or 2013. He just has to have enough, you know, with these old receivers. Why some of these old receivers can keep going for as long as they do. You know, why like Larry Fitzgerald went on for as long as he did, because you need just enough to like function, and then more is kind of luxury. But you got to be able to get through a guy. And this is where kind of the difference for me with somebody like Jordan Addison or Zay Flowers, these guys can't get through a guy. Jordan Addison can't consistently. And Zay Flowers will go around where he will then be at the landmark on time, but he will have to have like diverted his path, so he'll miss it a little bit, which I like Zay Flowers for the Vikings in particular, because I assume if they're taking Zay Flowers, they didn't take a quarterback, because they probably would have to like use those picks to trade up or whatever. And that means that it's Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins, I think, can handle that particular issue. That's my Zay Flowers take. I think he's a good fit for the Vikings because he's a good fit with Kirk Cousins, who can handle space stuff. As long as you're out there when you're supposed to be out there, he can adjust the trajectory of the ball just fine. You know, he's always been an accurate quarterback, right? But that is a knock for somebody who maybe has a younger quarterback that doesn't do well with that kind of stuff, or somebody who's maybe more about getting the ball out quickly, doesn't want to wait and readjust and do all that stuff. So kind of, you know, it depends on your quarterback and how they pair, I guess, with that sort of skill set. But it's a knock if you can't just get through a guy. Now, what I see with, I think if I remember, Quentin Johnston could do this. Maybe I'm just assuming because he's got a bigger body. But when you were, when you're trying to be physical with him, that he can just kind of say, get off of me, you know, and just he will stick to his path and he won't get knocked off of it. You know, when you get press jammed, right? How do you hold up to that? Does your rhythm get totally obliterated when you get, when you get a press jam? That's the kind of stuff that can be a separating factor, especially for all these small body wide receivers in this year's draft. That's a huge thing, because if you're small, but you're smoking through guys because you're super physical and strong, you're doing the Percy Harvin thing, then I don't care anymore that you're small. Yeah, there's a catch radius thing or whatever. But again, that can also, you can outplay your catch radius too. Like Stephon Diggs, he plays like he's way bigger than he actually is. So if you're big enough, you can just blast through it. But otherwise, how do you get past it? And a lot of times you'll see smaller guys utilizing what look like defensive pass rush moves. You'll see him rip under a guy like he's getting to a quarterback. And that is the kind of tech. I mean, it's, you're trying to get past a guy, right? Like that's the technique, and that guy can't grab you or hold you or whatever. So it is kind of a similar situation, just way smaller bodies, like welterweight pass rush. And then a huge thing for me is how you utilize space to help your quarterback out. Good wide receivers will sort of lean their routes toward where the quarterback needs them to. And that will change play to play. So I can't just say, you know, hey, running routes deeper is better. What, like, that's not the case, right? It's, for example, all I can really do is give examples. If you're running a 90 degree route, like an in route, right? Or a dig, that's just run up to this and then turn 90 degrees. You want that thing flat. You do not want to be drifting downfield. Because if you're drifting downfield, if you just think like geometrically, that's just going to give somebody a chance to get underneath you, right? Because there's, you're expanding the space that counts as underneath you. And then on the flip side, if you can lean that route shallower, your quarterback might want you to do that because it kind of cuts off that space. It makes it harder to cut underneath, right? But again, it depends if the coverage, if there's nobody underneath you in the coverage, then why would you do that, right? Just cut that thing off straight. And that's what they're looking for in like that gauntlet drill that they do at the combine, is how straight are you? Do you lean when you're looking at a guy? Do you kind of drift one way or another? Or can you be really precise with where you're running while you're looking somewhere else? It's a difficult skill. And then, for example, on like curls and comebacks, you want to work back toward the quarterback on a curl, typically, right? Against man coverage. Against zone, again, you're kind of trying to sit in a space and just be ready for the ball. But against man, there's a guy right on top of you. If you can do like a good curl route will be, and we'll kind of put everything together here, will against off coverage, we'll say, so we don't have to worry about the release. You're going to try to chew up all of that cushion as fast as you can. And you want your shoulders out in front of your toes when you do that. So it really looks like I'm about to be at a full on sprint. You better get ready, corner. You want to look as scary as possible, right? As fast as possible. And then hopefully you get the corner to transition, to turn his hips. That's what you're trying to get him to do. Now his hand has been forced, and the cornerback doesn't want to transition until he absolutely has to. So again, for cornerbacks, the more you can put off that transition, the better. But you have to get away with it, right? If you just refuse to transition, it'll be like that one Jamar Chase touchdown against Bashaud Breeland a couple years ago. Breeland just never did it. He just kind of called a bluff and then got burned on it. So that's the one that stuck in my mind over this. Bashaud Breeland, baby. But if you can force them to make that transition, now they probably have their back turned. And then you can lean your route into the blind spot so you can be right behind them, and then they can't see where you're breaking. You're guaranteed to get separation. Or just break your route off. Now they're going up, and you can kind of turn. Now they're running upfield as fast as they can because they think they have to. Now you can break down, and now they have to break all the way down with you. And now you, if you can just do that faster, you'll have separation. But if you just stand there, he can just run right up to where you are, and now he's back in coverage. So you have to work back toward the quarterback. You worked so hard to generate that separation. Don't let him close it right down if the ball's not there. Work back toward the quarterback. And if it's late, it's limiting the gain on the play. But you're still getting a gain on the play, right? So, you know, work back toward him. That's a thing on curls and comeback. So you want to see, are they doing stuff after their route break to help their quarterback, or are they just kind of absentmindedly running what the drawing on the playbook looks like? there's so much I had to, there's so much more with wide receiver, and I'm still learning wide receiver. This is a weak one for me. Cause I haven't really scouted it like a whole lot, and I haven't done a lot of like really serious scouting. Usually in the draft, I would kind of go off of scouting reports and people who I kind of see as like smarter than me and just kind of take their opinions. Cause I thought that would always be better than mine. And I'm trying to grow past that. And, this series is sort of part of that. So I hope you kind of stay on this journey with me. I think I'm going to talk about safeties, O-line and quarterbacks left. Those are the ones left. No guarantee on that. But that's what I think is the rest of this week. And then again, Monday, whatever news happens, I'll be all over it. I will talk to you all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.